A man become preeminent, he is expected to have enthusiasms. 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 What are mine? What draws my admiration? What is that which gives me joy?
Thanks.
Baseball.
Welcome in to episode 2 of the Champions League podcast here on the Pull Hitter Podcast. I'm Rob D. Catch me on X, always at Dead Pull Hitter. I'll be bringing my co-host, Randy Haynes. You can catch him on the X machine at RandyHaynes22. We have a special guest today, like we will every episode of the Champions League podcast, interviewing everyone who's involved with it. And in this episode, we'll be bringing in Timothy Tunks, fellow Meatball Mafia member, and really a highlight of the Discord over on the Pull Hitter Patreon, every day bringing in knowledge and lightening the crowd with his humor. And we bring him on to talk all things about Champions League and the strategy that went across his drafting the teams, the players' shares, all that fun stuff. So hope you enjoyed the podcast. Remember, come over to Pull Hitter Patreon, patreon.com, put Pull Hitter Fantasy in the search bar, and I got you covered. Daily updates on box scores, playing time news. We're bringing you actionable stuff. Not going to really do too many deep dives into why Mike Trout's hitting the ball so good, because you know that, right? We're going to unearth some playing time gems, some pitchers that come up, make some appearances and shove. Who are they? Why are they pitching well? All that done. Helping you do lineup sets for your Monday to Thursday period, your Friday to Sunday period. And it's not always just good for the NFBC. For daily leagues, it'll just give you a good view ahead to the broad picture, playing time pitchers. And for the full package, Meatball Mafia, I do a fab podcast as well and a fab article every Sunday, bringing you to Josh Smith, Secret Picks, and Robbie Grossman, all those type of players. So come check it out. You get a week trial if you want to come see what it's all about and enjoy this podcast with Randy and Timothy Tunks. All right, welcome on into the Pull Hitter Podcast, episode number two of the Champions League podcast. I'm here with my co-host, Randy Haynes. We also have a special guest this week as well, but I'll first get started with Randy, who's in baseball heaven right now with his Baltimore Orioles calling up Jackson Holliday. And everyone but Ryan O'Hearn, Randy, is 100% been with the team in the order, in the batting order. That is just fantastic. I mean, that hit me. When I heard the announcer say that, I was like, wow, you know it. But when you hear it, it's like that's pretty fantastic.
It's fun. I mean, it'd be more fun if they're winning Jackson's debut. And right before we started recording, the ump blew a brutal ball for a call. And then the next pitch, he grounded out to end the inning. But yeah, I mean, it's fun. I was a little upset that it took this long. I was tired of seeing Ramon Urias not be able to hit the ball to the infield. That was getting pretty frustrating. But, you know, I was worried it was going to take longer. I told you this. I was worried they were going to, you know, mess around and go to, like, the end of April or some crap. So, but, yeah, it's fun. And hopefully it's going to be like this for a while. So,
do you have Holliday on any of your Champions League qualifiers?
I do not. I don't have Holliday on – the price was kind of high. I mean, I try to separate my fandom from fantasy. I don't end up with a lot of Orioles on my teams. And when Holliday's price was high, I was like, all right, well, that's easy to fade him. When he got the mode in and the price dropped, like, I want to say, I can't remember if it was my main or maybe my last OC. He dropped to the point where I was about to maybe pull the trigger. It didn't happen. Somebody grabbed him a few picks before I did, but I would have at that point. But yeah, I mean, I'm sure hopefully he's got a long career ahead of him. I'll have plenty of chances to take him. So you stashed him in one, right, Jackson?
No, not in the CLQ, but it was my Saturday.
You stashed him in a league.
In the league with our upcoming guest. We'll announce him right now. Yes. Mr. Timothy Tunks, fellow meatballer. Met you in Vegas, Tunks. And you got to say, you are probably one of the lives of the Discord. You really make the Pull Hitter Discord pop. Especially when you came out with the Fuji After Dark, which was the original, like, best thing ever in that Discord. Everyone was like, who is this guy? Why is he obsessed with Fuji? But Timothy Tumps, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us. What's going on?
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's good to be here. You know, listened to a lot of episodes. But yeah, no, Fuji After Dark. I don't know how that got started. I think we were all just drinking scotch one night up late. It was the only game on. You know, and he comes on, he's throwing 102 and he doesn't know where it's going. And it's just like, what's better, right? Like last game of the night. It's like Last Chance Saloon, you know?
Yeah.
It's kind of the baseball version of the stage door.
Absolutely. The stage door, the that was an unbelievable Vegas experience there.
A missed Vegas experience.
We're being robbed of Fuji this year. Like, come on, what are your Mets
doing?
Yeah,
well, that's because the Mets.
Give him a shot. I mean, what else they got to lose? Like, you know, who was that scrub they DFA'd the other day that was pitching some relief innings? Look, give Fuji his job. Come on now,
Fuji.
Do it for the Discord.
I know this. He just in AAA. Like, what's he doing?
I don't know. He looked awful.
He looks awful training. At everything. That's the beauty.
No,
of it.
He looked better last year. There was a stretch where he legit was getting fab last year for like because he was a middle reliever with some K upside.
I had him everywhere. He was high on like I think Eno's list. You know what I mean? He's high on all those Japanese guys, and it was just like I had Fuji round 37 everywhere in all my DCs.
Yeah. Oh, the good
yeah.
Days.
No. Yeah, it was rough.
Good old days.
Yeah.
So, Tunk, tell us what drew you to this Champions League format.
You know, that's a really good question. Yeah, I thought about it. Like, so NFBC in general was this thing I heard about like 10, 15 years ago, I think. Like, remember that old, the Fantasy 411? It was the MLB.com, essentially, like fantasy baseball show.
Right.
And Corey Schwartz, who I still think works there. I think he does. I think he works with StatCast. He's always in the stats division. He was kind of like their, you know, like their Eno. And he always was the one that, like, he was the first person who I ever listened to for fantasy advice, right? And I would just do what he said half the time, and it worked out. And he talked about going to NFBC one year, right? He's like, yeah, we're going, and it's live, and we're sitting around. And I was like, God, that sounds so cool, right? But I never did it, you know, and then kind of got out of it completely. And then kind of wasn't even watching a lot of baseball. And then COVID hit, right? And like nothing to do, right? You know, and so like when baseball came back, you know, admittedly, it was crappy. No audience, right? Just did that. Watched it a lot, got really into baseball again. And then when the next year came around, I was like, wait a minute, you know, like I'm in my late 40s. I got a job, like I can do this now. Right. So I got into NFBC, you know, did some DCs, went to Vegas, you know, and as you know, once you go to Vegas, you're hooked. Mm-hmm. And then, it was like, you know, this is how I want to play. You know, I want to play with the best of the best and I want to see how I measure up. Right. You know? And, and then like when it came to this year, you know, and you guys came up with it, you know, I think I signed up as like soon as possible.
Yep.
Yeah. Cause it was just like,
quick.
Yeah, no. Cause it was like, that's really what I want to do. You know, I mean like the idea of like, and again, I think maybe it comes from like my generation, but you know, like being like part of that whole poker boom, you know, with Chris Moneymaker and all that internet poker and TV poker and everything was like, that was the thing. And I think the thing about it that was so great is like, I could never go play pickup with like Steph Curry, right? But like I could be in a draft with like Phil Dussault and like John Posma, right? You know, like I can play the best people. And I think that's really what the appeal is at this point, you know, is like is just essentially like if you get there, like it's just it feels like such an accomplishment, you know? And so that's really like I was in from the get-go. I mean, it helped that I binked my 1K DC, so I had the money just sitting in the account, so it was easy just to transfer it over. But yeah, no, I was in from the start.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah, I think I remember you being in there real quickly, and then it just blew up, you know. And I'm so happy we're here, and looking at standings now and tracking it, and it's a bunch of fun. You know?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, I got a screenshot of myself. I think I was second, like the first hour. So I got my screenshot.
There you go. You always got to take that screenshot nice and early.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You never know when you're going to get it again.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're up there. What are you like?
Second? I say he's second right now. Rob's.
Yeah.
I mean, He's been taking screenshots for a couple days, it seems.
No, none of them. I haven't taken none of them. I just have one thing I'm tracking, and that's just guys on my DC who might be available on Fab, and I'm just trying to keep that in mind when I go to Fab, my main in my own in my online championship. Because, you know, you want to maybe – I tried to do it with Turnbull. It didn't happen. Turnbull being a draft champion CLQ – last round pick just been huge, and that's just like just those kind of picks are just going to be, you know, what buoyed a lot of people.
Yeah, you went early. Was that when Turnbull was that after Detroit cut him, but before he had a new team?
Correct. Or
was that when he was still on Detroit?
No, that was still teamless.
Yeah,
Turnbull. I think. Yeah.
Yeah, I got scared off.
It was just one of those things where I was like, okay, I was stopping the starting pitcher draft maybe like at round 35 or 40. And just after that, it was all either speculative dart throws for saves or some prospects. And, but every now and then I'm like, you know what, maybe I could use one pitcher here. And every time I just saw his name, like, he's going to have to get a job, right?
Yeah. And that's like, a good point.
And it just constantly just threw him into the queue. And the one draft, I took him, and then after that, he just always became something I targeted afterwards.
Yeah, I think I only got him. I got him in Fab this week, but just in an OC. And then I think I had him a couple times when he was still in Detroit, though. That was it. Yeah, and then I was off him. I guess I was worried about like Korea or Japan or something.
Correct.
That was my thing. I just didn't. Somebody like that, there's a different scenario where he ends up, you know, pitching outside of the U.S., you know, if he doesn't get. I always liked him. A couple years ago, and I know that there was some weird stuff going on where he didn't trust the. Was it the medical staff he didn't trust, or just the whole organization,
the whole organization, the whole everything?
Yeah. But then, you know, does somebody get like a bad rap? Because like,
We
like Spencer fan. Turnbull a little bit. I mean, yeah, like Spencer Turnbull doesn't have the, you know, the equity built up in Major League Baseball to start trashing organizations as bad as one as Detroit was there for a little while.
But, yeah.
You do worry about stuff like that. But that's a great call by you, Rob.
Good one.
All right, Randy, go ahead. It's your shot here to ask questions to Tunks.
All right, where should we start? I know where I want to start, but I'll say
let's just do it. Let's do it right now.
You want to just do it? Okay. This is like there's gonna be like six people in the Discord that have followed along with our beef back and forth. We'll just throw it out there. Why do you hate players that can go 20-30 that are available in round like 11 and 12?
All right, I got right here. You see on the paper, I got three key stats.
Oh, he took notes. I didn't take notes. Shit, I'm screwed.
So check this out: Cedric Mullins, 2024 platoon split versus left-handers, 100. Jorge Mateo, platoon split against left-handers, 1,053. You like that? I think it's 12 at bats each. And then last year, Cedric Mullins, 19 stolen bases. Jorge Mateo, 32. And finally, if you remember a couple years back when I really got back into fantasy baseball and listening to podcasts, Cedric Mullins was a Justin Mason pick. And Jorge Mateo was a big Ian Khan guy, right?
Yeah.
So you got to go East Coast, right? Over West Coast, right? Because all the good players are in the East Coast and Canada. So that's my thing. No, honestly,
we're reaching on that last one.
And the first one, the platoon split after eight games. He's good. I really was just worried about the platoon. That's all it was. You look around.
Yeah. I guess I said, I don't usually end up with a lot of Orioles on my fantasy teams, but I got the platoon splits getting dropped in the order, but there's no one on the roster that can play center field.
Yeah,
like they tried it for a few innings with Mateo, and he like fumbled the first ball.
But what's the old Rob Silver, right? Doesn't he say there's always somebody else?
But Mullins isn't a bad player.
He's not. But I could just see it gets to June, right? And they're this super team, and then because you know even the Dodgers do stuff like that. You know, I could just see them bringing in Michael Taylor and just platooning him.
Yeah.
Like he's definitely going to get run against righties and he's a great, he is a great player, but I was just worried. Yeah. I just kept looking at the last couple of years and it's like 450 at bats, 525 at bats.
Yeah. That's mostly been due to injury though. But even the kids in the minors are all left-handed. That's why Hayes is non-existent now.
Well, you're right. There's nobody coming up that's after him. I mean, unless they like try and do something stupid, like put Holiday in center, which they won't do this year. But I was really just worried more about like the Michael Taylors, the Tommy Pham's, And that's
Fam could still. Who knows? I mean, if it gets really ugly, but
and that's mainly just a DC thing. Is like I don't want. Yeah. Like I kind of tend to think like a DC player, and like I just don't want somebody in the 12th round that's going to get dropped in the order. Or I mean, because they were like platooning him with like Ryan McKenna, you know.
I mean, yeah, that was a Brandon Hyde crush. Yeah, I mean, and McKenna's gone now too. He's off the field.
So it's just like
that sticks in your brain. So those little things stick in my brain too. Like, I see the power, I see the speed, I see everything he can bring to the table, and then my brain goes to this little thing like, but he only started 7 of 18 games after the All-Star break in 2022, and last year it was like, I know it was the injury, but you should just get a little bit scared by that. But even when in some drafts he was falling, and I was like, why does my brain not want to pick him here either? It was something that was preventing me, and I think it was just the main thing was, I know they don't have anyone to play center technically, but you just look around the organization, and it was one reason why I didn't pick so much of Cowser too in Draft Champion too, because you have to pick your spot because you just don't know if what the playing time will be. Love the skill set, but you just don't know if it's going to come to fruition.
And he's one of those guys, when he broke out originally and he ended up in like the third, fourth round, I was way out.
Yeah.
But now the price is, very reasonable. And I just, like I said, I wasn't buying into the platoon thing. I mean, maybe that's something because I do follow the team so closely. If I was a fan of another team, I might've been in that same boat, but I just, there wasn't a center field option.
Oh, I 100%. I don't see anybody.
But that's not going to, that's not going to stop me from. Yeah. Rubbing in your face every time he hits a home run, and ignoring you if he does anything negative.
I was looking about who I was taking around that time, because he was always 11, 12, 13, and that was always where I was looking for more power, really. Like, I just was never, I mean,
Santander went a few picks apart from each other a lot. Like, Springer was in that range. I mean, there was a lot of outfield options in that range. I mean, I have
a lot of Santander, a lot of Soler,
was another one, and his price, even after he was signed with the Giants,
I always come up short on power. I'm kind of like Rob, and so in that area I was really trying to focus on power as opposed to like getting 15, 20 guys, or 15, 15, 2015, that kind of thing.
As we're having this conversation, base hit Cedric. Let's go.
All right.
Rub it in your face. But all right.
Where's he batting now? Is he batting seventh? I don't even know.
He hit sixth tonight.
Yeah.
Cowser was seventh, Westberg eighth, Jackson ninth.
But
yeah, that was like six people in the Discord have picked up on our beef back and forth about
that. Oh yeah.
So we'll get that out of the way.
Yeah,
now.
That's definitely that's the serious content. Is this on the Discord or is this on the main? This is on the main feed, right?
Dale, this is going to be...
Yeah, this is on like your Rob's non-Discord. Feed.
Yeah,
public feed.
So
oh, even
people
better.
That aren't in the Discord.
There's even less people that don't know.
Are definitely turning it off, so...
All right.
Serious question. It looks like you've only done one or two OCs prior to this year.
Yeah.
Would you have done one if it was not part of the CLQ? And what's the biggest difference for you as someone going as a heavy DC player to then playing a 12-team... redraft Fab League? Like, what's the biggest difficulty you think you have?
Well, I could definitely say I would not have played an OC, and I honestly probably wouldn't have even done. I did a 500 auction DC, and I did the 1500 auction in Vegas again with Rob, and I don't think I would have done those without the CLQ, because I was like, well, what if I actually qualify in this thing? I don't want my first auction to be, next year, right?
Yeah. Great point.
Yeah,
I like
but
that.
Yeah, no, like I. Yeah, I totally got back into the OCs because I got scared off of 12s the first year. Because the first year I did them was, I go to Vegas, and like I do all these picks, and like there's like Rob, I'm sitting next to Rob Silver, and he's like, and he goes like in the second round, he goes Lucas Giolito, and I'm like, holy shit, second round Lucas Giolito, right? And then like, and then you start like walking around the tables, right? And you look and you're like, oh my God, that's Casey Cha. And it's like second round, Lucas Giolito, right? And you start going around to all those guys. So, so my first year I get home and I'm like, I got an itch. I want to draft more. I'll do a couple of these OCs. both of them second round Lucas Giolito and just didn't, you know, and I just didn't know when to.
So that just ruined the format for you. Lucas Giolito single handedly ruined an entire format for you.
It was not the right, it did, and it wasn't really the right time, right? Like first year doing mains, first year doing DCs, and then going to a 12. It was just because I think I finished pretty well. I think I finished like top half for sure. But like I just wasn't going to get first or second, you know, like I just didn't have the switching the brains, you know, a lot of people have a hard time with that, just switching gears. So like that's how I got scared off of it last year. And I was like, I'm just going to do 15s. But then when this came up, I was like, no, I'm going to test myself. But yeah, I did two even, like I did one in Vegas, which originally my genius plan was I would do that one first to get like, you know, like some experience and to get a feel for it. And then I would do my CLQ online, but then of course I couldn't wait. Mm-hmm. So I did the CLQ early. So, yeah.
So talk to me about doing either the OC or the draft champions, like early or late. Did you have any kind of strategy going into when you wanted to draft?
I didn't. I mean, I like talking again about having a hard time going back and forth. I definitely liked the thought at the time of doing the DC during DC season, because I mean, doing a DC, especially a slow DC, like once spring training starts, is just brutal, you know, because like halfway through the draft, like your first round pick is injured and like you still have 30 more rounds to go. So honestly, my thought was I'm going to do it before spring training. Right. And I was like literally just sitting around waiting for a good room to open up, you know, and I had done a couple four honeys with our friend Najimi, right. Who, again, listeners of the Discord know, but our readers of the Discord know, but the public might not know. But Najimi is a Adam Najimi. He's this guy. He's a fresh young face on the scene.
Yeah.
And to be charitable, he drafts like a madman. And so I looked at it. I'm like, this is a 14-person league, right? Like, I gotta jump in here, right? Somebody posted it on the Discord, and they're like, hey, like here, you know, like Najimi's in a 150, and I don't really like 150s because I'm more of a 400 1K person just because like I like a little bit more riding on the league, you know, and I like how it plays, how I can play a little bit more towards the league win. And then if I get an overall, great. But yeah, I was like, oh, yeah, for the CLQ, this is perfect. And then, of course, I got the 1-1, which is amazing. And even better, like he started talking trash to me in the chat. So I got a $500 side bet booked with him. So like, if I lose this league, or at least if I lose to Najimi in this league, like, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm definitely going to need to seek counseling. But that was really the DC thing, was that was game selection. That was game selection and not wanting to go before the OC, or not go before spring training. The OC, again, I wanted to do the OC super late. I either wanted to do it super late or super early. So of course I ended up doing it in the middle. Because I had, you know, for those of you who don't know, you buy into the CLQ at the same time, right? You buy the whole package. So you essentially have an OC, like what feels like a free OC just sitting in your account, right? And you're like, hey, you know, Tuesday night.
Just pick the day, yeah.
You know, like wife went to bed a little early, you know, kids are doing their thing, you know, and it's like, I see this room and I'm like, there's 10 people, haven't heard of any of them. And then I use that little, for those of you that aren't the members of Rob's Discord, there's a member, I can't remember his name, but he does a great tool where you can essentially do a quick lookup on a player and see their record, at least for the last handful of years. And so I looked it up and there was nobody that was really scaring me. There was one player in there that had a winning record who, ironically enough, is in the Discord. It's John Peterson, I think. And but he's also never played any 12s, right? So it's a good player, but new to the format. And I was like, okay, it's 10 out of 12. I'm going to jump in. This is a good league. Jump in. It fills 2 seconds later. Number 12 is John Posma. Right? Yeah. Oops. Great. I'm in the OC with Posma. And from everything I've heard and seen too, Posma, I mean, he's a beast no matter what, but the OC is really probably his strongest format. So yeah. So I did that and I was like, okay. And that was kind of just that lacked discipline. I think next time I would probably do it earlier. I like the idea of doing because the OC is such a churning format. I like the idea of trying to take the last half of your draft and essentially get like those, you know, circa 2 years ago, Julio Rodriguez picks, you know, like those picks where you're getting somebody in in the 25th round that nobody thinks is going to break camp. And then he does. And then, you know, the trade-off is you're going to burn more in fab the first couple weeks. So, but that was the
trying to beat the market jump.
Yeah. Kind of like what people say with DCs. Like, I really think it's actually even more valuable looking back on it in a fab league, right? Because at least you can write the mistakes, right? Because, I mean, we all have those DC teams that are already, like, completely dead, and there's nothing you can do about it, right? So,
yeah, you could totally take those shots and OCs. I did all mine in the second week of February, and you know, I got Jackson Merrill around 29, Victor Scott in round 30. You could take those shots, and then all of a sudden, a month later, 3 weeks later, they're hanging out way higher.
Yeah.
And that's what happened to me with J-Rod a couple of years ago. You know, it's not as easy now because everyone is really into the prospect game more and more, and we're expecting more from them. But
it's still
useful, I think, because like you said, it's going to be a turn game anyway.
Yeah.
Like Kyle Bradish with the last pick, because like he had just gotten like hurt, and I was like, well, you know, I was doing the math. I'm like, well, what if he comes back by this time? You know, and again, it's a 30th round pick that you could just completely, you know, drop instantly. So as soon as you hear some bad news. But did you have any other, like, did the CLQ change any other portion of draft strategy? Like, did you feel any more extra pressure doing the draft? Did you try to line up diversification? And then, like, kind of like lead that into if you know, your multiple player shares across all three formats.
Yeah. I think the only time I really felt it was in the slow DC, because you have time to feel it, right? Like, I was definitely time banking some decisions that were just, I would not normally time bank, even like in a 1K, you know? And then like in the main, not so much. I only do one main, you know, so it didn't really change much for me in the main. And in the OC, I didn't know what I was doing, to be completely honest with you. Yeah. So I didn't really have a mind towards diversification. I think I was sort of forced to diversify just by, I had the one in my DC. I had like the 13 in the main, and I was right in the middle in the OC. And I think that that helped diversify, because like, it's usually when people talk about diversifying, obviously it's up top is kind of where it's, you know, a lot of people like to do it. And like, you can't build the same first three or four rounds from those spots, you know, unless you're really reaching on guys. So yeah, I didn't really think that much about it, about diversifying, to be honest. Like, I did look at my shares. I think the only person I have on every team is Seth Lugo. I could be wrong, because I just glanced at it.
It's not a bad person to have.
Yeah, I didn't dump it in a spreadsheet, but just, you know, like kind of like a seventh or eighth starter type, you know, like play him at home, you know, maybe on the road when it's a good matchup type of thing. So, yeah. And then, you know, I think that I definitely have two Kirbys. I have too much Kirby right now.
How you feeling about that?
Yeah, because I did a lot of, you know, I think I paired him with Pablo Lopez once, and I think I paired him with Spencer Strider once, if I'm not mistaken. I can check. But yeah, like, I definitely have a couple of Kirby. I have a lot of twos of people, but I think the only three I have is Lugo. And I didn't really think about diversification. It just kind of came to me. I think if I was like you, Rob, I heard you talking on a podcast, I think today, you know, if you had like three mains with three number twos, I think that would make me think about it, right?
Yeah. Without a doubt. And it's so funny too, because in our draft and in our main in Vegas on Saturday, I started Strider, Albies, and Harris. And of course, you messaged me in the Discord, and you're like, "Hey, pick all Braves," and I'm like, "Motherfucker!" You know, it's great that what you can you know, go through during the draft. You're so laser focused, and I look across and I'm like, "Fucking Tonks."
I know, right?
Got in my head nights and early.
I know some people get so serious. Like, I remember Drew Forte, right? Like, we had talked to each other. It's like, "Hey, let's say hi," right? You know, because he was in my OC draft, but he was super locked in, and so we never said hi. And like, I saw him during the main, and it was down at your end of the table. And I just got up and went over and said hi to him. And he was like freaking. He's like, "Dude, you're in the draft." And I'm like, "Wow, you know, we're like 10 picks away. It's fine, right?" I don't know. I guess I just don't get as locked in as everybody else.
Yeah, no, it is an intense moment there. And
better. I need to like channel my inner DuPont and just like really like just ease into it and just talk people up and make them nervous.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so let's talk a little bit about your DC here, because I was taking a look at it. You had the first pick, you got your Acuña share, right?
Yeah.
I really like the way you set up your pitching here. Lopez, Kirby, Sale, Imanaga. When was this DC done? And it was like, Like just like pre Imanaga, like
oh yeah,
like great price. This was like great price Imanaga.
Yeah, this was like this was still. I'm 90% sure this was unsigned. I feel like this was January.
If
I
okay,
had, you know, like I feel like it was a January draft. I could check that real quick, right? Let's see here.
Mine was January too.
Yeah, and no, I'm pretty sure January 13th. Yeah, was when it started.
So, you got a Jared Jones here too. I see.
Yeah. Nice Steph. No. Yeah, that was a definite. You know, so far so good, right? Yeah, no, and it's been, I mean, the health has been, I mean, I'm knocking on wood here, you know, the health has been decent except for the closers, but yeah, no, I mean, I tend to go pitching heavy, you know, that's, you know, something I've borrowed from, you know, better players than me, you know, like I definitely want to have enough starters in a DC to where I get to, you know, August and I can still put out like a full lineup. I definitely want to be able to have the Ks and I kind of am just willing to figure out the hitting, you know what I mean? But yeah, these are all guys, you know, like I had a lot of, like I said, I matched Kirby with a high K guys. I have a lot of Lopez Kirby, a lot of Gossman Kirby, you know, some Strider Kirby, like that was kind of just, I mean, it could backfire, but I really did believe that Kirby might be kind of like Eflin, you know, kind of like somebody that you can count on the ratios a little bit better, but you know, so far that hasn't worked out. And then, and again, this was definitely, I think at the time, this was a high pick on Sale. I think Sale on the ninth was kind of a reach, you know. But, you know, I think he was definitely in Atlanta. But, yeah, no, in Imanaga, like I said, I don't think he was signed. And that was just, I always go for the Japanese players as evidenced by my Fuji pick last year. You know, like I'm definitely one of those guys that I'm not afraid to jump in on them, you know. Like I had a fair amount of Yamamoto early before he signed with the Dodgers. And then, of course, I was out because it just was too much. And I already had my chair.
Yeah. That's a good bit of, like you said, with Sale. I mean, Imanaga, that's a good bit of K's to pair with a Kirby if you're going to start like that. And then Jones,
yeah.
I'm sure in January you couldn't have imagined Jones was going to break camp, but you had that vision,
right.
You know, once he does come up, that he could be a K monster. So that's...
Oh, yeah, I mean, absolutely, yeah.
That's the way to do it if you're going to take a Kirby up top like that.
Yeah, and definitely, like, you know, it's no secret, but, you know, like, I played it safe the first 35 rounds, more or less, you know, a few little reaches, but, like, you know, and then once you get to 35, that's when you're going with, you know, at least for me, you're more going for upside, you know, not every pick, you know, sometimes you're trying to fill in something you messed up earlier. With me this year, it was a lot of second base. I was looking at all my teams, and I have, like, the crappiest second base depth on like all my teams for some reason, but yeah, no, I was definitely happy with this team, happy with Jones, you know, like this is of my three, this is probably the team I feel the best about right now.
Yeah, I was thinking with my, well, not saying I'm out trying to like blow DCs,
yeah,
you know, just in general, but the CLQ being attached to it, really, I was like, I cannot blow the DC, like, because there's no making up for it, like, I can. You know, I'm not saying I want to blow the OC of the main, but you can at least try to fix something of that in season, obviously. And just, I was so like as safe as possible with my CLQ DC. And so far I'm doing all right. I think that's my best CLQ team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, same.
Of the three, but I took a long time to make my picks in my DC. And yeah, I'm right there with you. I did not want to take a ton of risks in the first, you know, 25, 30 rounds.
Yeah.
Jones was a nice hit. And, you know, I think one of the best guys to follow for anything fantasy baseball, James Anderson. And, you know, he was really out in front of,
oh yeah,
being very upfront about it too, with his beautiful breakdown of his prospects and, mm-hmm. and he showed his shares. And, I had like done some filtering with some, you know, some minor league pitchers. It's like one of the first things I do in preparation mm-hmm. for DC is I look at bullpens first, just to know who, where to go late with like some late darts for saves. And I look at some minor league arms that I might want to take late. And so I saw some of the numbers pop, but then when I saw him talking about it, I actually watched some video,
yeah.
which really helped. And when I watched the video, that's when I truly was like, oh, okay. Like, could you see it? It's hard, you know, to really cram in all the like the spreadsheet hunting and reading articles and listening mm-hmm. to the podcast. But then if you really have some time to digest the actual playing, and when I watched Jones a lot for the first time, I was like, oh, this guy looks like he's the real deal. And just that was an easy trying to grab yeah. him at every point until, you know, there's that point in DC season when like the herd comes in and, you know,
yeah.
all the prices go up and, which is why it's definitely fun to do it earlier.
Yeah, so, like what's really to you, like, I mean, I always kind of looked at them and I couldn't figure out why, like, like last year, Brandon Fott had all this buzz because he had pitched, you know, so many, because it was kind of the same thing, right? You had the guy that did a full year at AAA, had a full load of innings. So like you knew innings wasn't going to be a thing. And then you looked at the major league rotation and you knew the major league rotation was weak, you know, and it's like, and at the time last year, nobody thought the D-backs were going to be good. You know, it's like I kind of was surprised that he didn't get hired quicker just for that. Or maybe it's because Fat didn't work out, you know, and people just had that, you know, in their head.
Very true.
Yeah.
Very true.
Because to me, it was almost like the same player. I mean, like, I mean, maybe not underneath the hood, but just in terms of like if you tell a story, you know, which is
kind of like with Jones is because you had two of them. I mean, Skeens is there also.
Yeah.
You know, it seemed like Pittsburgh, what were the chances they were going to leave spring training with two rookies in the rotation? You know, I mean, I think a lot of people assume they would have zero, you know, but when you have two guys like that with the same organization and Skeens was, you know, he was the 101, I think he's still higher on most lists. I think that probably had a lot to do with that.
Oh, maybe. Maybe people just didn't see it as clearly or didn't see like who it was going to be and thought was more of like the numero uno.
It shouldn't matter like what organization they're with, but sometimes that happens where, you know, this guy's a great prospect, but he's got this other prospect in his organization that's just a hair better, you know, and it, for fantasy wise, we end up overlooking them because we're so focused on whoever their top guy is.
Yeah.
So in your DC2, you're also stashing Orioles to Randy's pleasure for sure.
Oh yeah, no, I knew I was going to be on this podcast back in January, so I had to make Randy happy.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, okay, no.
About your closers, real quick though. So you have Fairbanks and Romano, and maybe I missed somebody else in your roster, but it seemed like he got Bender, but then like not too many other relievers, or at least many guys that can step in and do saves. So is that kind of your strategy, like to get two up top and then not worry about it at all after that?
Yeah, and again, I think that's more of like a 400, like 1K strategy that works.
Mentality,
like
right?
When you're more going for the league, you know, like my best, again, my best league finish ever on NFBC was I had a 1,000 last year, and I was actually up there in the overall for a while. And I really just had Felix Bautista and Andrew Puck, AJ Puck. And that was it. You know, like, I think I had picked those two guys and I won the league, you know, which is like second place in the overall. So it was kind of like, and then I looked at my other teams, you know, that I had done like in previous years. And I just end up with like all these, you know, all these guys in round 40, like, you know, like, Adam Simber and like all these like middle relievers that had a good year last year that either get hurt or they get demoted or they, you know, like who was that guy, right? For a while, it was like Seawald and Steckenrider. Was that who it was? You know, like
Steckenrider. Yeah.
Yeah. And I was just like, so I was just like this year, it's like, I just don't really want to go after that many. I mean, I think in season, it's nice in a DC to have a few guys like a Griffin Jacks or a Matt Brash or something that's like you're gonna get on a 7-game week, you're gonna get 3 appearances maybe, and you can maybe count on getting like 6 Ks. But I didn't really want to go after those guys, so I think it did inform a few of the picks I did make though. Because, like, for instance, like Kyle Hurt, like in round 38, like that's really a pick where I'm like, you know what, this guy might be a starter, but like more than likely he's going to be a middle reliever, and there might be a small chance, you know, especially at the time with the Dodgers bullpen, you know, and they never really filled back in behind Phillips with anybody expensive. So yeah, it was pretty much two closers up top, and then I was really targeting pitchers that like later that it might be like, oh, you know what, this guy, like, he might not, either he's boring, he's a prospect, or maybe it's one of those things where there's some reliever risk. So that was definitely like what the Kyle Hurt was on that one. And I'm looking at this. I did go more boring, and maybe that is a CLQ thing. Cause yeah, like the only other person here that would maybe fill that category would be Emmett Sheehan. But I think if he was healthy, he would probably be in the rotation. Oh, although who knows now, right? And, you know, Chris Paddock, I mean, he can end up in the pen too, right? But none of those guys are going to get saves, right? They're going to end up being, for the most part, except maybe Hurt, being just innings guys. So yeah, that was the attitude. Like, these are my two closers. That's gonna be enough to get me in the middle of the pack on saves, which is kind of the least important category, you know, if you're going for overall, right? Because it's not really linked to much else. And then if I lose one, you know, then, you know, so be it. You know, I'd rather look after the other 9 categories.
Like, no, that's I know, because I'm looking at some of my teams as I set my lineups on Monday, and I'm like, oh, why did I pick Tyler Kinley?
Right.
And it's like, you know, it's the 45th round and you're like, well, what if I get, you know, cause that's the thinking is like, you get your two closers and then you're like, okay, well, I needed 8 more saves now to get to like maybe 85th percentile, you know? So like you're trying to supplement with this eight to 10 more or 8 to 12 more. And, you know, you're always trying to find a spot where you can get them. Like, Kinley might get 8. You know, I just need a stretch with 8.
And yeah, like, oh, yeah, God, and he still might, awful. Right? You know,
I mean, he still might, yeah. But yeah. Right now,
good luck timing those 8.
But it's
too,
tough.
You know?
But it's tough every week. You're like, I can't use this asshole.
Yeah,
you know, like
yeah, no, he's got to be the closer to put him in. Like,
yeah,
he has to have a run where he is the guy. You can't just go in and throw him in there because it's just
yeah. And I know, just, like, the definitely, I can't remember. I don't even know if I know who won. I didn't look that closely at the DC teams last year, but I know like the two previous years, the year you won, and then the year that it was Mayer, right?
Yeah, Steve Mayo. Yeah, he had
you guys, but you guys both, like you both, like your round 40 to 50 was just like what, you know? It was like he had what he had like Munoz. He said he never even played Munoz. You know what I mean? Like he had literally like five. He had picked 5 closers between round 40 and 50. So like I was like, yo, man, I can't do that. So I mean, it makes sense because if you hit, that's how you're gonna win an overall, right?
Right.
Like, right. If you could just spend nothing up top on closers and just get them all late, like, that's really, like, if you had a crystal ball and there was, like, one thing you could pick, that might be it in a DC, is, like, who's going to get the saves at the end of the year, right? Like, who are going to be those people that nobody thought of that become, like, closers?
Right. That would be a volume thing, too, right? If you're playing a lot of volume, you can just go in and be like, this is my draft that I'm not paying for any saves. The saves on the end, any saves I get at the end of the season came after round 32, whatever. You don't even consider taking a reliever until just pick a round and see where that goes.
I mean, yeah, I think that really is the biggest thing that interests me in DCs is really what do you do with those last 15 rounds, right? Because I think everybody's kind of like, you know, there's been so much out there and, you know, we've all played so much. And we all kind of know what we like to do and what we not like to do and like what may or may not be our strengths or what we think our strengths are. But literally, like, it's kind of like, you know, I was in a DC with Phil and like this year and the last 10 picks, he just went like, you know, all guys that had not even been drafted for the most part. You know what I mean? Like it was just all guys that he had punched into his system that he thought had the skills, but it was a complete skills thing where it was like, you know, half the guys I'd never even heard of. Like, is that the answer? Is the answer to go for all your Tyre Kinleys? You know, I'm interested to see how it shakes out this year, you know, like at the end of the year. Cause I think that it's, you know,
because I definitely
got scared off of like bulk relievers last year. You know, like I definitely every DC I had, I was very good about like, you know, getting 6 relievers, 2 closers, and then like a bunch of middlemen that kind of, you know, like Fujinami, perfect example. Mm-hmm. You know, useless.
Yeah, I think last year I picked probably a little bit too much of the middle reliever like type just to have had options to fill in. And I realized I used them, but not, you know, I didn't use them enough. And then I think I looked at the fact that everyone was hitting on, you know, the Bryce Miller types. And it's like, all right, so look for arms. I mean, I was into Fott last year, but I just wasn't looking like as deep. I just last 10 picks was I just don't like starting pitchers after a certain round.
Yeah.
And then so this year I'm like, OK, so what can be the trend this year? And it's basically became a mishmash of what I've done the last 3 years. It's like a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and a little bit of that. And hopefully, you know, but then we get, you know, like you said, everybody has their process and then you get stuck into that process. And it's like, it's like, all right, I'm taking Chase McDermott here because I always do every draft, you know, and it's just every one of your last 10 picks starts maybe looking the same. And that's another thing, you know, you do 2 or 3 DCs in a row and you're like, I think I got to switch it up a little bit here because I know diversification, like it doesn't really matter at the back end of draft because if you have 10 Chase McDermott and he hits and it's huge, or if you have 10 Cade Povich, you know, and he hits, it's huge. But I just don't like, well, what if these guys don't hit, you know, and you start switching it around a little bit. And so, you know, and there's Christian Scott, I didn't stop taking, you know, because and I know Gecko is going to will that to reality sooner or later for
us. He had a big start tonight, right? Did I see that?
Yeah. I was in the Discord.
Only a matter of time.
What about Vasil, man? I thought I have Vasil. I don't have any Christian Scott. Tell me some good things about Vasil. Is that how you say it, Vasil?
I think it's Vasil.
Vasil, yeah.
Yeah, I have a lot of him too. Yeah, I like the both of them a lot.
Yeah. I think I ended up with him because he always went after Scott.
Right. Yeah. No, yeah. Makes sense. Makes sense.
Because a lot of those ones, you know, you just want the one piece, and like, how important is it to get the piece that you want? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's like last year with Gavin Stone and Bobby Miller. I mean,
right.
A lot of people were like, let me get a piece of that. The cheaper one ended up being the route to go.
Oh, was Miller cheaper than Stone?
Last year.
Last year.
Oh, yeah.
Last year.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess it would have been, huh? Because Stone actually like made the roster earlier. Yeah, mm-hmm. Good point.
There was some Stone hype because I had a decent bit, and I didn't have any Bobby Miller in any.
I ended up with a lot of Stone this year.
I did too.
Yeah, I'm surprised. Like he kept going so late, you know.
He sucked for 2 months, so everybody hates him.
Like, I know, but like the Dodgers mojo, man, like that never fails, right? Like Tyler Anderson, they can make anybody a pitcher, you know.
Yeah,
or maybe not.
So in your vein with taking Vasile after Scott, after Stone was always picked, I'm like, I'll just take Michael Grove.
Yeah, right.
You know, because like it was the same thing. I looked at, it's a 3.9 Sierra, and it's still 24% K rate here, and a 6% walk rate. And he's on the Dodgers. You know, he'll get some spot starts. So every time everyone else was gone, like Hurt and Stone, I was like, who just went yard, Randy?
Westberg. Oh, you might be ahead of me. You might be ahead of me because Westberg shows up. No, you're fine. I've been kind of watching this out of the corner of my eye. Chris Martin and Connor Wong are having like the worst half inning a battery has ever had. There's been like three passed balls. Like Wong had a catcher's interference on the first pitch.
Wow, it was just 5-3 Red Sox. Now it's 7-5 Orioles. Yeah. Westberg 111 off the bat, 440 feet. Oh my goodness.
Our beautiful mass and streaming service here in the Baltimore area is Oh, there it goes. Okay. It just finally went out. Nice.
That's crazy. It took so long. All right. So, Tunks, looking at your teams here, your fab teams in your Champions League, what do you got to do here to muster up a little bit in the standings here? Are you a little bit short on a specific category? It looks like your main, you might need some power or something like that. Have you kind of, you know, located anything where you might have to really, you know, put some emphasis into as the season goes along?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I feel like my main is just, I'm kind of, it's hitting that's behind. And like, I kind of think that a lot of the guys are going to come around. You know, I'm just looking down the list really quick, and I got a lot of slow starters. You know, I got Torres, Goldschmidt, you know. So I think I'm mainly at the point now where I'm just looking for good players that fit, you know, like I don't have anything that's like, you know, like I'm not too nervous about like my categories, you know, like it's still early enough that I drafted the team that I thought was going to be good. So I shouldn't feel at least like I'm behind anywhere. You know, I should just, you know, like when I look at the guys, I look at the numbers, like I say, yeah, you know, it's pretty good. Everybody here's healthy. You know, I've been really happy with Estevez has actually been like decent, which is all I really wanted, you know, like my pitchers, you know, like Webb and Musgrove are, you know, like, I think they're going to be fine. So yeah, like I feel like the pitching's solid, and I look at the hitters and I just look at, you know what, it's the first couple weeks. A lot of times hitting's behind pitching, but a lot of these guys are pretty boring and pretty reliable. You know, I mean, I might need to worry in a month, you know, if Goldschmidt and Springer still aren't going, you know, I mean, honestly, my biggest worry in this league, and I'm kicking myself, is I took Bo Naylor and just, I was kind of down on him all off season because I really thought he was going to play less than most people. You know, I know there's a lot of people in the Discord that are like, you know, Hedges sucks, you know, but I just feel like, especially when they signed, what's his name to be the manager, you know, the old shitty catcher. I was just like, they're gonna just say like, oh, get the guy in there that's the good receiver that can call a game.
One,
you know,
shitty catcher to another.
Yeah, and I'm really just kicking myself because like I'm looking at my main and round 11, I had Kyber Ruiz, who was really like the last catcher on my list, and I passed on them to take Estevez, and I think he would have been there coming back around because I don't know if you remember, Rob, I had these two old timers sitting next to me, and I don't think they were taking Carlos Estevez. And so I was like, I think I really should have taken Ruiz looking at their rosters. So that's really the one thing I'm worried about in that league is my catching, because I've already dropped Pinto, who is my second catcher, you know, so I'm kind of like playing the catcher stream game already.
Oh, like, the old world Pinto, the pick that couldn't go wrong all draft season long.
And it might be my first Pinto. You know, I'm normally like a two catchers up top, two closers up top guy, and I mix it up here and I'm kicking myself.
what happened to the catches? Did they just go a little too early, or you passed it up for something else?
I mean, yeah. I think at the time it was like, I think I just decided to wait a bit. You know what I mean? Like, I kind of, because catching in general in this draft, it went a little later. So I think I really thought I was going to get somebody coming back to me in the 12th. Because, I mean, believe it or not, Carlos Estevez actually was kind of part of my plan. I really was trying to go Kimbrel and Estevez. I was really trying to go boring, maybe unexciting closers, but people that definitely have the job and have a lot of leash. So I think that, because looking at it, you know, like, I mean, we didn't have Real Muto go to the 6th, didn't have Will Smith and William Contreras go till the 7th. So, I mean, in my mind, like, catching's falling, right? But then it still did what it's been doing all off season, which is round 10 and 11. Everybody just got their guy, you know? Like, I mean, I see, like, you went Alvarez and Murphy. It's probably your fault. So, but yeah, because I thought for sure somebody would get back to me at 12 when I saw when I saw everything falling that much, you know? It really gave me a chance to take, you know, like, take George Springer, right? To take that extra bat, you know, before I get, you know, because I did want to wait on the second catcher, you know, for sure. But because one thing I have noticed in years past when I do go double catcher in a fab league is that, like, just streaming catchers is, I mean, it's not fun, but it's a lot cheaper because not everybody's in, right? You know,
right?
Like, there's, you're only really, and I think that's a Phil, I think I heard Phil say that somewhere and it really stuck with me, where it's like, if you're stuck streaming that second catcher, it's way cheaper than it is, you know, streaming other positions. So I kind of was true. Like, yeah. Very so true. I, yep. So the Pinto thing wasn't such a mistake. That was kind of like, I'll just take who I get. I mean, I want to get somebody with some PT that might have some upside or might be better than we think, but yeah, no, I actually feel pretty good about this team. I think it's just going to be one of those things every week, you know, start small, you know, look at the next week, make sure you're covered everywhere, you know, look at who are the cuts, right? Because there's always going to be some cuts, and then look at the player pool. But I think it's still going to be kind of more of like a best available than looking for a need, because I am pretty comfortable that I built, it may not be the best team, but to me it feels balanced, at least, you know, where there's not like a glaring, at least, category weakness.
I like your starting pitching depth too. You got Lugo, Stone, Wynn, Singer, and Fetty right now on your bench with this starting lineup. So that's just a nice stable group of arms that you can cycle in there, stream when the best matchups. And I think that's, you know, right now, given the state of pitching injuries, it's so huge. It's really something I try to stress, and it's just sometimes it's not even enough, but it's like that mix you have, like the five starters, two bats, like I'm either 5-2 or 6-1 for the first month easily. You know, I sacrifice maximizing that Friday to Sunday, you know, where I got two guys with two out of three. Let me get three out of three. It's like you could do that later on when, like, the platoons actually start stabilizing, but like use that for pitchers.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, at this point, you're really just that depth is so valuable, you know, and I have done that. I have been a little too quick to cut in years past and do the thing where it's like, oh yeah, 2 out of 3 versus 3 out of 3. So I'm really just focusing on just, you know, like I said, just playing it slower this year. And then when I get to, you know, July, I'll know where I'm short, and that's where I can attack, you know?
Yep. Absolutely. Good stuff, Tonks, man. We appreciate you coming on.
And thanks for having me. This is awesome. Being our,
100%. Glad you can get your podcast debut out there. Yeah, and we really wanted to bring on, especially the fellow meatballs that have been riding all season long. You know, it's just a great spot. You're highly active in there too, and I really appreciate that too, because everyone, you know, everyone kind of rallies around everyone who does a lot of the talking in there and who keeping things light and funny. Yeah. And you're always into that, which I really super appreciate that about you.
Yeah. No, I'm happy to be a part of the community. Thank you so much, man. For 100%. Building it.
Yes. No. Good luck the rest of the way, Tim. And look, I'll catch you in a little bit in the Discord.
Thank
you.
All right. Good luck out
Thanks
there,
for
fellas.
Popping in. All right.
Thanks, man.
Right. Good stuff. Mr. Timothy Tonks. That was fun. Yeah. I had the pleasure of meeting him in Vegas too this year. And I think, he was there last year. I didn't formally introduce myself, but good guy, very, very good people. So, so what's your outlook right now, Randy, in the CLQ? You seeing anything you're kind of eyeing out? nice and early, or
I told you a little bit this morning. You know, I'm down in the dumps about my main, but my OCs. I'm in my OC. I'm in third. My DC. I'm in second. So I'm holding strong with those. I just gotta. It's early. Like I wish I had the willpower to not even look at it, but it's just, you know.
Yeah, no, it's great. It's right? There. It's, yeah, it's there. But, I mean, it's there. Yeah. It's fun. It's fun to look at. It's fun to be able to. I mean,
this is what we there's a fine line between not. Yeah, so there's a fine line between like not taking it too seriously, but also you don't want to miss that you're falling behind in anything, right? Like I can look at, you know, you look at most of my rosters and know if something has a glaring need, but you might be a little behind noticing that you're like, wow, I'm like, why am I so far down in runs scored? Let me assess that. Why am I so far down in, you know, whip? Why does my whip stink? I didn't think the whip on this team stunk. So, you know, there's a fine line there, but like I said, it's the seasons. We're technically only like 2 weeks in, right? Like a full weeks of games. Opening day was 2 weeks from tomorrow.
Yeah, correct.
Yeah, so it's just it feels like it's been 6 weeks, but
it really has, especially with the injuries, you know. And it just feels like everything is going in slow motion. And no, but it's fun. It's fun. I mean, I've been picking around a little bit at the stats, at the leaderboards. So right now, like, you can go to, if you're wondering where the Champions, even if you're not playing in the Champions League, you can go, if you hit standings on the NFBC site, it's Champions League qualifier. It brings you to one general overall page with hitting, pitching points. And then if you scroll down, it divides it into the category, into each format. But then also there's a drop down, the first drop down that says CLQ overall. You can go to main event. You can go to RotoWire, Online Championship, CLQ, and then it breaks it down. And then you can even do the categories from there, so you can kind of see who, you know, who's leading the Online Championship in home runs and who's doing that. So one thing I'm happy about is I really put some emphasis, as Tunks mentioned, like I've been finding myself short in power the last two seasons, and I'm really, you know, I put emphasis into that, and I feel good about that. Top 10 in homers in the main and the OC, and that's good. I want to stay there. it's been a struggle trying to get to that figure.
Yes. So far, all my teams seem to be okay on power. It's just the pitching. I mean, got a 5.30 ERA in the main, and I thought I was making the right play benching Sonny Gray, but he turned out to throw the best start any of my pitchers have had all season. But what are you gonna do? I still think that was the right call. I streamed Jake Irvin. You know, he's got Oakland. Like, if I'm not gonna use him, then why did I pick him up? You know, like that was kind of the decision I made. So
Jake Irvin. Like,
yeah, no, I know you're a Jake Irvin fan. I don't know necessarily a fan, but you're at least intrigued, I guess you could say.
Yes. Yes. Well, I mean, yeah. I see the ERA. Well, at least you're not at seven. Like, there's two players at seven. So.
Yeah,
but it could be worse. You got some. So do you think you're gonna play like a little safer now, or you have to just roll out your guys, right? That you.
No, I'm just gonna roll out my guys. Like I'm gonna. I mean, my top like five or six guys. I mean, unless any of them go to Coors, I'm not. Or have a Dodgers Braves coming up. I'm not even gonna consider because like.
You got Lopez, Musgrove was going. Musgrove, Sonny Gray, Paxton, Maeda. This is gonna be fine.
Yeah, yeah. And like Musgrove,
Olsen, I don't know about, but everybody else looks great.
Yeah, Olsen could be. I thought there was something there, and I guess there still could be, but it's not off to a good start. So, but what are you gonna do? I'm not gonna throw him in a two-step against Pittsburgh and Minnesota the way Minnesota's going. I mean, I don't know.
No, I mean, you gotta take the two steps now. Yeah. Well, while the ball and the weather are.
Yeah,
a lot less fun to score.
And he didn't pitch great against Pittsburgh, but he probably deserved a hair better than that. Like they had a couple of dribblers get through and all, but like Musgrove was fine last night. It was funny. I was watching that game and it's kind of like he got through three scoreless. I like dozed off and I wake up and he's out of the game and there's a four spot on the board and I'm like, what the hell just happened? But you know, hate that feeling. But I think he's gonna be fine. Velo's ticking back up and he's actually getting more whiffs. I mean, it's only a couple starts, but his whiff rate seems to be up a little bit compared to the last couple of years. So, yeah, I'm not, you know, it's like anybody out there that's down on their team. It's still way early. It feels like you got a mountain to climb, but it's not that bad. So,
right. It's still very early. But, which is, it's like what's fun to see too is like now in Fab, you know, for both the main and the online championship, you're going to get some players that are picked up. Like I was trying to mention before, you know, some guys that you may have in your DC that now are that may become available. Like I have Christian Scott. So when he comes, you know, when he makes himself available, you know, do I really try to lock into myself to getting him on multiple teams? And it'll be interesting to see, like, if someone like Blaze Alexander, right, gets into full-time playing time, let's just say, and someone has him on their DC CLQ and they picked him up in their main and kind of buoys their standings, you know, forward. It's going to be interesting to see those kind of, you know, as we talk to guests along the way, and, you know, with that may come up, you know, like, hey, what's gotten you here? It's like, Connor Joe. Like, oh, yeah really? Connor Joe.
Got all the Connor Joe. I don't know go ahead.
No, I was going to say, honestly, it's those players that are at the bottom of the pool that, to me, will make so much of a difference, you know, in like how you do throughout the season. So like in my DC TLQ, I have, you know, like past round 35, Colin Weah, Paul Blackburn, Jake Irvin, Dominic Canzone, Spencer Turnbull, Chad Green was my, so I had Spencer Turnbull around 48, Chad Green 50th, and Chad Green was just because I had Romano, and I'm like, you know what, let me get some kind of, you know, I thought Swanson was going too, like, really early at the handcuff, so I was like, let me just get something here, and like those guys right now for me, the Chad Greens, two saves, while Romano, because I have Romano. It's huge. It's really huge. The Turnbull showing up, the Jake Irvin having spot starts that are serviceable, the Colin Weah too. So it's those players. And like I said, to try to match them up into your Fab leagues is kind of like, you know, going to be something I'm really keeping an eye on for sure.
Yeah, I've got a few already. I took JJ Blade around 44 of my CLQ DC.
Nice.
And
pick.
I fabbed him in the main, and I think I fabbed him in, I don't think it was my OC CLQ, but definitely another OC. I had streamed him. I streamed him, had a couple injuries, and he ended up surviving another week. So we'll see what happens there. But even, like, you know, it may not happen now. Around 49, Spencer Arrighetti. I looked a little bit while we were recording. Didn't look like he got off to too hot of a start. Round 50, Tyler Freeman. I'll take that for the DC. I did try to get him in Fab and got outbid. Those are the guys you want to keep an eye on, because if it hits, like if Lede hits, that's going to be big for me.
That a doubt.
And I guess it's too soon to tell if they're going to send Arrighetti right back down.
Oh, probably too, man, soon to tell. I guess it depends what they want from Verlander, right? I mean,
yeah. I don't think it quite lines up. I'd have to look at their schedule next week. Maybe they've got an off day or two they can work around. But I don't think,
right, because I think Verlander started on Sunday. I think he started.
It was definitely over the weekend. It was Saturday or Sunday.
Yeah.
It was Saturday or Sunday. It was definitely over the weekend.
Arrighetti's interesting because if he does stay in line for at least the first start, he's gonna have to face Atlanta and then go to Washington. So if he is in line for, you know, a two step next week, which would be fairly interesting.
So Atlanta's the first one.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's the one. I mean, with Verlander coming back, I would say the chances between performance, Verlander coming back, and just normal randomness, I would say it's very unlikely he makes that Washington start.
Hard to see Verlander staying down more than one more, because he's just going to be like, listen, guys, just get the fucking, like, I don't, just stop it.
Like, yeah, why can't he do what Sonny Gray did? They wanted him, you know, they wanted Sonny Gray to make a rehab start. He basically told him no, and he's like, yeah, let me throw 60, 70 pitches in the major leagues. And he got through, you know, five scoreless. So
to the money start right there. Cool. Yeah. Good stuff. All right, Randy, you want to, anything else you got on your mind before we get out of here?
No, man, just that we're in it now, right? Like this past first weekend of Fab, it was kind of like I, you know, hadn't driven a car in a while, you know, and then this past weekend, I was like back in the groove. So.
Yeah, it's all about finding your rhythm and in general, you know, how you do your Fab, how you set yourself up when you do it. You know, I started making a list on Thursday last week. Thursday during the day, it was just like, just casually updated my watch list, and then just on like two or three teams, I just gathered some, you know, $1 bids in a string, two guys I definitely wanted to cut on each team. Mm-hmm. And then I go back on Saturday night, and this ain't not even fucking close to being what I, it changed. It changed so much in 2 days. I'm like, it's such a useless process sometimes. Like, so now I'm just going to update the watch list and make myself some like hand notes, you know, like, and that's what I do right now. I set myself up differently this year. I was always, I always have like a, I'm always doing the Modica style, like, but not the graph paper. Like, I make myself a bid, and I just, it's just, you know, guys need to drop, and then upgrades, and then spots they need to fill. Did a SP streamer, did a outfield bat from Friday to Sunday, everything. And then I would just go and do my fab for each team. But this year I put it all into a sheet, all into spreadsheets. So like one team has its own page, and it has my roster. It has my team stats weekly, a la John Posma style, tracking the 80th percentile. And then to the right is my fab results. So it's one smooth run. Brian Fitzgerald, also a meatball. He showed me something. He shared me something once, and it was like a nice page, just like that, left, right. Instead of having three tabs, I was like, you know what? I'm going to set myself up with something like this. So I'm really locked into that, and I'm just making all my notes in that. And then so I don't have to readjust my whole fab list. And, and literally in 2 days, it changed so much. Yeah,
I've had that happen plenty of times. You throw a guy like, I don't want to forget this guy, especially if it, or you're digging through a certain team. I'm like, this guy kind of fits what I need for this team. So you put the – you put just a little reminder, you know, dropping whoever. My name be the person you end up dropping. Sunday rolls around, and it's like, well, shit. Thankfully, Fab doesn't run on Wednesdays, because I'm not even considering this guy now. You
know? Imagine that. Imagine it ran on a different day. Oh, man.
Yeah, how just completely different just every league would turn out, you know?
Oh, 100%. Just the randomest 100%. Cool, man. Well, good luck for the rest of this week. Hope you bang out Fab, and enjoy Jackson Holliday and his wonderful Baltimore Oriole team. I'm definitely jealous. Like might, as a baseball looks like they fan, might
pull it out.
You know, I think going last year to the stadium, getting to meet you, and feeling feeling that Oriole electricity was pretty something else. Yeah. Actually, I think we're looking to a friend of mine and my brothers and my wife might be looking to come out there pretty soon to check out a game. I think a couple of my friends want to go see the Yankees play there, so. I think it's the end of the month, so
it's in April, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's Sunday. I think it's a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday series, but so I might be out there. Right.
Yeah, that's a bummer that Jackson's home debuts this weekend. My my wife's gonna be out of town, so I won't be able to find anybody to watch my son. So I can't even go to his first home series. That was kind of something I had planned, but such is life. He'll have plenty more games at Camden to play.
You'll have about 15 years to watch him there, it seems.
Wow,
like.
let's not get carried away.
Yeah, I think
he is a Boris guy. Client. He's a Boris client. So.
Oh, we won't get into that now.
Yeah, no. That's awesome.
All right, buddy. Good stuff. If you want to try catch Randy on the X machine, he's at RandyHaynes22. I'm at Deadpool Hitter, and thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Pull Hitter Podcast, the second episode of the Champions League, and this one was with Timothy Tunks, and hope everyone enjoyed. Don't be a bag of shit. Peace.